It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, June 15th. I'm Molly Wood, in for Ben Johnson. When there is a disaster, big or small these days, there's usually a relief effort online shortly afterwards. GoFundMe campaigns, for example, raised $3 billion in 2016. Now, Facebook is getting into charitable giving with a new feature tied to its popular Safety Check. The fundraising tool is available only in the U.S. and will let people create a fundraiser or donate either when they check in as safe during a disaster or when they use the Safety Check tool. Larry Lieberman is chief operating officer of the nonprofit evaluation website Charity Navigator. Larry, what does this mean for the charity landscape?
The role of that Facebook has to play in connecting people during times of crisis is critical. They've proven it themselves. So it's exciting to see them add fundraising as a feature that's part of that.
So do you think it's an overall plus? Certainly it could affect organizations that already do this sort of thing, like GoFundMe, right?
You know, the general consensus and the data supports this is that giving is up every year in America. And part of the reason giving is up is because there are more opportunities for more people to give more often to worthwhile organizations.
It raises all boats.
Correct.
How much do you think this trend toward sort of more individual fundraising like this could affect charitable giving overall? You said it's up now. Could there eventually be, though, some crowdfunding fatigue?
The data shows, and what we know so well, is that the single greatest force in fundraising is the news, right? And obviously when the news relates to a natural disaster or a tragedy or a crisis, fundraising in all those areas go up. So everything that Facebook is doing in this regard is powerful. It's the second aspect of what Facebook's enabling, and that's individuals starting their own fundraiser for themselves.
Right. I'm imagining that there, you know, that there's a disaster and then you see, I don't know what the mechanism will be, but there could potentially be thousands of individual fundraising campaigns that spring up after a disaster. And that feels like it could have sort of a potentially off-putting effect.
Correct, right? There's a difference between there's been a natural disaster, please give to the American Red Cross, which is providing relief, and then there's 1,000 people's home was destroyed. And each one of those people sets up a fundraising campaign to help me build a new house. Mm-hmm. That's a whole new experience, and that's something we're going to have to watch and see what happens to.
Larry Lieberman is chief operating officer of the nonprofit evaluation website Charity Navigator. Larry, thanks so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is here because these days it's essential to have an independent source explaining how the economy really works, not just for CEOs, but for everyone. Your support keeps this kind of reporting coming, and it's especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. Visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us in your world every day. And thanks.
HP and printers go together like peanut butter and jelly, everyone knows that. But in the last year, the company has moved into 3D printing at the manufacturing level, and this week announced plans to sell its commercial 3D printers into Asia. Stephen Nigro is president of HP's 3D printing business. Stephen, thanks for talking with me.
Glad to be here.
So we've been hearing a lot about 3D printing for a long time. What is the sort of state of things now? How are different industries using 3D printers?
Yeah, it's coming out of the last hype cycle, let's say, and really starting to target more production type applications where you're really starting to look at how can you produce final parts using 3D printing. So early stages for sure. So, I mean, some of the public examples out there are in aerospace. You're certainly seeing kind of jet engine components being produced in medical applications. You're seeing kind of implants and or custom orthotics.
And how? What's the potential for this to change the manufacturing process? I mean, could it make manufacturing more local?
So yeah, we actually see a future of a democratization of manufacturing. And yeah, you'll see supply chains change. And yeah, we believe you'll see more of a move to local manufacturing.
And how far out do you think that is?
Yeah, we're definitely early on. We see 3 to 5 years. We believe you'll start seeing some significant shifts in the world being driven in large part by 3D printing and kind of what we can, you know, what the world will do and certainly what we believe we're going to be able to contribute.
And then I think everybody knows HP for printers in their houses. Like how?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that part of the plan? When is every household going to have a 3D printer, HP or otherwise?
I would say every household will have 3D produced parts. Certainly, you'll be using 3D printing. Current 3D printing technologies on the market today really have some severe limitations. So it doesn't make that household printer all that useful. So I would say, could it happen one day? It could. It's going to require somebody to really come up with a breakthrough for that to happen.
Stephen Nigro is president of HP's 3D printing business. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, thank you very much, Molly. It's been great talking.
And as questions swirl around malicious interference in recent U.S. elections, cybersecurity experts are sounding the alarm about the special runoff election coming up in Georgia this month. That election has become the most expensive House race in U.S. history. Democratic newcomer John Ossoff is running against Republican Karen Handel. But Politico reports that a former security researcher was able to easily hack into the state's voting records, get passwords for its central voting servers, voter registration verification tools, and even the electronic systems used to tabulate votes. The Rocky Mountain Foundation has sued the state to stop it from using the vulnerable voting machines in the upcoming election. That news comes on the heels of leaked NSA documents that suggested Russian hackers have targeted voter registration systems in the U.S. And Bloomberg reported this week that hackers have tried to break into voter registration systems in 39 states and have maybe even deleted or altered voter data in at least one of those states. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.